Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Sports City. It's your boy TP Thomas back at the helm. 7 years ago on this Sunday, it was December 6th, 2009, we were right here, same network, same show, where it all began. And I'm not getting into everything that we went through upon the way, but we are still here rocking and rolling with a lot more to go, a lot of stuff to get into today. Sports City, let's go, man. I only want to get focused on everything that we went through for over 5 years. It's 7 years long, man. We're going, though. But I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside the kitchen. Timeless is alive.
Oh, welcome to Sports City. TP Timeless is at the helm.
Feeling kind of Sunday.
Moses taking care of the Midwest. I'm TP Timeless holding down the East Coast.
TP, I am ready to back rock.
And the only thing, I got one thing to wish you people.
Good morning.
It's a Sports City chance for Sunday the brunch with Mark and TP.
Good morning.
So kick back, relax, enjoy everybody, don't turn on the TV.
Good morning.
It's a Sunday morning brunch with Mark, the Moses, and TP Timeless.
Good morning.
Sit back, relax,
and
2 hours of facts, and that's a fact, yeah.
The calling number is 917-889-9592. Like I said, you got the next 90 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. You could have been anywhere else in the world, but you're here with the chef. And a very interesting day that went down in the college football atmosphere. We'll get into all of that, and we'll definitely get into our picks, as you guys know we normally do around this time. Week 13 is upon us in the NFL. Hopefully some of these people start to separate from what they have in their rearview mirror, or it will get interesting as we go down the road. Calling in by way of the Virginia region of the United States of America, we have Tommy B in the building. Welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
I guess we'll know how I'm doing in the next hour. Because college football comes out. Well, the playoff thing is announced about 12:05 by the time they get done talking. We'll see how I'm doing. I'm waiting to see how they screw somebody.
Okay, we'll get right into it as things went down yesterday. Looking at the picks, somebody had a very good day. Somebody had a decent day. Somebody was off out of the three of us. In which the picks went down, we'll go game by game. Navy took care of business in their matchup. Tommy, your thoughts on the Navy taking care of what they had to respectfully to close out this season on the right note?
Navy lost. Temple beat them. Temple won the American.
And what was the final?
I'll have to look it up. Let me look it up. Hold on. I got to get the tablet. I know Temple won. Because the guy for Temple's head coach is a candidate.
Okay, I'm actually pulling up the score now. I have it in front of me. Temple did win that one 34-10. Okay, so that is my slip up on that one. I actually got a note from someone that Navy had taken care of it. So they were telling me a blowout. It was in reverse, and Navy got blown out. Okay, so your thoughts on Temple actually storming through and taking care of Navy. Navy actually having an impressive season this year and losing big to Temple from what I actually had early in this situation.
Congratulations. You won the American, I guess. I don't know. Like I said, I was out of town. I was up at the state championship game in West Virginia that my alma mater won 5 state titles in 7 years. Congratulations. I guess Navy left their offense in the wherever they – I mean, you come back and score 100-some points in 2 games, and then you turn back, come back, and you play. You score 10 points after scoring 75 in SMU the following week. I did see and heard where Navy lost the starting running back, didn't return, and the starting quarterback got hurt, ankle, foot, and everything that I saw, he didn't return either. Does that have an effect? Maybe. Congratulations, Temple. You won the American. I mean, I don't know what else to say.
So with the Navy losing, do you think this will actually give Temple some consideration to end up being a top 25 team as we get ready for bowl season?
No.
So you think, okay, fair enough, the Navy fall out of the top 25 as being 19th ranked and losing to a Temple team who had a good season at 10-3.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. With some of these rankings sometimes, does that mean you've got a Pittsburgh team in the top 25 that gave up 60-some points that our Hurricanes, more mine than yours, beat Pittsburgh and beat them pretty easily? So I don't know. I have no clue how the rankings go. They may fall. They may not. It's Navy, so they probably will drop out of the top 25.
All right. Interesting enough, the battle in the Big 12 between West Virginia and Baylor. West Virginia wins this game 24-21. Coming down to the final seconds or minutes of this game, and West Virginia was able to outlast them and matching a touchdown score in that late last quarter. Your thoughts on West Virginia ending their season on a good note, winning 24-21 up against a notably good offense in Baylor who slowed down as the season comes to a close?
This is a shock to me. I mean, I picked West Virginia to win this. That's not what's the shock. The shock to me is that this team went 10-2 with Scarlett Howard as the quarterback. Next year, I seriously thought next year was going to be the year for them to actually surprise and open up some eyes with Will Grier. 9 out of 10 going to be the quarterback, the transfer from Florida. I mean, they signed Dana Holgorsen. The word came down after the game that they gave Dana Holgorsen a 5-year extension. That actually shocked me, too. But, I mean, they like something. We'll see what they can do in a bowl game. You got him hollering they should be in a New Year's Eve bowl and blah, blah, blah. We'll see what happens.
So you don't think Holgorsen deserves the extension? Why not?
Because he hasn't proved nothing. Who has he really beaten in the Big 12? He lost to the big dog, Oklahoma. He got blown out. Got blown out. You lose to Oklahoma State, the two big dogs in that conference.
And you don't think a 10-2 season is good? Like that isn't something recognizable to keep him there? He can't build off of that?
Ty, let me give you the story. There have been fans. There has been people in the university of rumblings of this guy being gone, that they want him out. Now that they turn around and they give him that 5-year extension that puts him through, I think it's 2021. I'm really, and I'm going to say this, God, honestly, I don't see him there that long. I do not see him living up to this contract. And there's personal reasons why I say that.
Okay, give us some, because this is close to home, so I want to hear why you don't think that he can't get better with what he has now. He could be 11-1 next season. He could end up being 12-0. You never know what can happen.
It's not going to happen. Trust me. They're going to fall on their face. They lose almost everybody that produced on defense. Gone. So you bring in a whole – that defense is what won ball games last year. The offense will do better than what they did this year. I really think the offense will be better. The defense is what's going to fall apart, but they lose almost everybody on defense.
Okay, well – We'll see as time goes on. Right now, Helgeson does get the extension, 10-2 season. I don't think that's shabby. I think that's better than a lot of teams across the nation, especially being a top 25 ranked team. And just like he said, the defense did do a lot of work this season. But I feel like this whole unit can grow off of this, especially being in the Big 12 where it's more or less a shootout every game that they play. So it's anybody's game moving forward in the next couple of seasons while he has this unit. But we'll see as time goes on. I'm going to stay within the Big 12 because I was going to jump across the board, but I might as well just stay within the conference. The Bedlam battle, if you will, Oklahoma State loses to Oklahoma 38-20. In which Baker Mayfield and Perrine basically had their hands all into this game. At one point, Baker Mayfield watched the team go down in the series to score a touchdown, was on the sideline screaming at Oklahoma State that this is our house, get the heck out of here. He was more or less emotionally attached and involved to this game. Baker Mayfield said after the game that he will be staying for his senior season to come back and try to not only do the same thing again and winning the Big 12, but also trying to win a national championship. Is he putting too much on his plate early? But I want to know your thoughts on this matchup of the Bedlam battle in Oklahoma.
Another game I didn't watch, didn't see. I've read about it for the show's purpose. I'm not shocked this went the way it is. It went. I mean, D.D. Westbrook went off before he got hurt. What, four catches for 111 yards, and I believe two touchdowns?
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not shocked. This Oklahoma, I said it before, and I'll say it again. This team was healthy in the beginning of the year. They'd be undefeated. If you turn around and all they're saying this year is the top four teams for the playoffs. Top four teams, best teams. What they're saying this year, before the last 2 years, it was championships and conference. But now since Ohio State, now it's a different whole story. If you want to go top four teams, fine. My top four, Bama, you have to put – I'll put Oklahoma in there because they're healthy, they're winning. I'll put Clemson, and then I'm gonna put a shocker in there. You want top four teams that are playing right now? Good, USC. Oklahoma's got to be in there. I'm sorry.
So Washington, if they get the lead, you don't even consider Washington right now?
If you want to go top four teams, USC beat Washington.
Correct.
At Seattle, they beat them at Washington.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going by what everybody is saying now. Top four teams. Oklahoma's got to be in there. They have not lost since the Ohio State game. Plus, they were not healthy. D.D. Westbrook wasn't there. And the two running backs, both running backs, the one was there, the other one wasn't.
So give me your four again. You had Alabama number one. We all know Alabama is the general right now in the college football until this playoff situation comes down. Who was two through four again, please?
I'll put Clemson there. I'd put Oklahoma there. And I would put USC.
Okay, so
It's not going to go that way. My predictions were when it gets out, it'll be Oklahoma, or not Oklahoma, sorry. It'll be Alabama, the fuck guys, Clemson, and I would not be shocked if they dropped Washington and put Penn State in. And then I'm going to really go off.
They haven't earned their way. I'll get there. I'll get to Penn State in a little bit. I do want to get
you want to put Penn State in, fine. I have no problems with that. Then you drop Ohio State and you put Washington in.
Exactly, exactly. Now we're talking. Now you're cooking. Now you're cooking.
Ohio State did not win their conference. Washington
right.
did. Penn State
right.
did.
Right.
Alabama destroyed the sorry SEC.
We'll get there. I want to get all of this out of you. Hold on. Okay. So, first and foremost, one of the teams that you did mention, respectively so, in the conference that we represent, Clemson took care of their business up against Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech did make it interesting late, scoring a touchdown to get it within one score, but Clemson was able to outlast the situation and win this one 42-35. Virginia Tech somewhat impressed me in this game. I'm not going to lie. I didn't think that they would actually stay in this fight up against Clemson. Your thoughts in this matchup where Clemson actually wins the ACC again?
I did get home in time to watch this. Of course, when I got home, I was dead tired. And I got home, and it was 14-0, Clemson. And I looked at the wife, and I said, told you, this is going to be a slap job. I said, I knew it. I said, the true best team in the Coastal wasn't there. Turned it over to see the Big Ten championship game. It was 14-0 Wisconsin. And I'm thinking, wow, that's a shocker. I turned it back over, and I seen where Virginia Tech scored. I said, okay. They scored once. I said, ain't going to score many. And they kept going back and forth, back and forth. I don't know if Clemson went up 14-0. I don't know if they slowed down the pedal a little, thinking that we had 14-0 already. Our offense is going to do it. And the defense slowed down, and they just couldn't get enough momentum back up or what. That game really shouldn't have been that close. I'm sorry. Virginia Tech's not that good of a football team. I don't know what it was with Clemson. There's times where they'll look so good and take care of business, and then there's times where they'll start out so good and finish just do enough to win, like Louisville did this year. I don't get Clemson sometimes.
And it makes it interesting that Clemson was able to outlast Virginia Tech. I'm wondering if you are correct. I'm actually, leery and worried about the way that you went, because you might be right. Does Deshaun Watson really put himself in conversation with what Lamar Jackson has done this season, especially winning the ACC and probably one of the teams that could go right back to the national championship again? I think Clemson can fight, whether they're the 2 or the 3 seed in the playoff, regardless of how the committee does this. But I think that they could win that game and get right back to where they were last year with a chip on their shoulder if Alabama is to get there or not. I'm not even going to try and jinx them right now. And as much as Alabama has been successful in doing their thing, I do not want to jinx them at all. But it would be interesting if Clemson did win their game, whether they're the 3 or the 2 seed, and get right back there and try to fight Alabama once again. That would be an insane matchup. Watson more or less will have the chip on his shoulder going up against an Alabama team who enforces the line of scrimmage. But I think the only way that you can beat them is in the air. And Watson will take those shots passing the ball. So this would be an interesting situation if Clemson were to get there. Go ahead.
There's reports coming out of Clemson. What was it, 2 weeks ago? And Dabo Swinney confirmed, though, that Deshaun Watson, the running back, Goodson, and the one wide star receiver are all declaring to the draft after this year. Now, does that happen? Do they all decide to come back if they don't win the championship? Or are they putting all their chips in just this season and then going to make that money next year? This, if they're putting their chips in all to win it this year and going pro, Deshaun Watson may ball out this in the playoffs. But if Clemson gets left out of the playoffs, and they say they drop him and they put Penn State in, does Deshaun Watson and them all come back?
What do you think? Do you think they do come back or no?
If they get left out, or they make it and they come, say they make it and play Alabama again, and they come up short again, I think they might come back. But I don't know. That big money, you get those agents talking in your ear and saying you can get them this money and you can get them this money. Money talks.
Okay, fair enough. We'll see. Like I said, I think Clemson can play with a chip on their shoulder and try to get to the national championship. I don't want to jinx anybody. I don't want to jinx Alabama. I don't want to be the voice here in the kitchen doing harm to anybody by talking this thing up. I want to see it all commence. Okay, I don't really feel like talking about this situation at all, but I have to, Sports City. I have to. There's something wrong, Sports City. I really feel bad in doing this. All across the nation, they still claim the SEC is the father of, you know, the conference football play in, you know, the nation. And we all know Alabama is the cream of the crop. And it's going to take a strong team to knock them off. They're going to need I can't really say a perfect score, because a lot of these teams, especially as the playoff scenario is being put together, all of these teams could actually give Alabama a threat or can beat them. I don't want to just, like I said, I'm trying to walk a fine line. I don't want to jinx it. I want it to be clear cut. Somebody come out and get Alabama, and I really want it to happen in a national championship. I don't want it to be where they clip their wings right here at the doorstep of, you know, the national semifinal situation. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm talking too much. In which the SEC championship game, Alabama played against themselves, and the ball was actually scored a couple of times on the other side of the ball. But Alabama creamed, I can't even think, I'm trying to think of another word. It is good that I use cream because it's kitchen-related much. Creamed Florida, 54-16. Now, Sports City, the SEC is claimed the best conference in college football. We could be proved right or wrong. We could have debates left and right, up and down. The kitchen flames can go up and down crazy in the kitchen, and I love that about what we do here in Sports City. But looking at this game, right, the only thing successful Florida was able to do was pass the ball, which we all know that's the threat of Florida. In which, Alabama, I beyond tip my hat to what you guys did in this game. They held Florida as a total team, because there was positive runs on Florida's side of the ball. But when I seen the stat at the end of the game, collectively as a unit for Florida, they were held to no yards rushing in a full game. Now, there were positive runs. A lot of the negative runs came from the quarterback, in which he was getting sacked. But he had negative 32 yards. Negative. Now, like I said, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm starting to question if somebody. All right, I'm gonna do this like this. I feel Ohio State, I feel Washington and Clemson could all give Alabama a fight if that's the situation that's set up. Even if Penn State were to get pushed into the playoff scenario, I don't think Penn State could give Alabama a fight. I think it'd probably be an interesting game, highly emotional situation. I don't think Penn State could knock off Alabama if they were put into the playoff picture, excuse me. But the way that Alabama's playing, I want to see how one of these teams knocks them off. But, Tommy, I know that, you know, respectfully, that we are Hurricane fans. We do not like the Gators at all. This is unreal football. unreal. They shut them out in the second half, where you know a lot of these teams get that halftime speech and turn into a second half team. Florida did not show up after the half. Your thoughts on Saban basically standing on the mountaintop in the SEC?
Hey, gay turds. You're an embarrassment. No, actually, let me put it this way. The SEC East, you're an embarrassment. Florida wins that division with no offense. I'm sorry, this team sucks. I hope we get this team in a bowl game. I ain't praying today. It says Florida Gators in Jacksonville against the Miami Hurricanes. Because these son of bitches can't run then. You're going to have to take the ass whooping the Hurricanes are going to give you. This is an embarrassment. Now, the funny thing is, Jim McElroy, the head coach of Florida, is an offensive guru, supposedly. He was the offensive coordinator for Alabama and Nick Saban. Won 2 national championships. I believe it was 09 and 2011. National championship. He was the offensive coordinator. Thought he was a big shot, so he went to Colorado State. Did okay. Then left, and now he's at Florida. Yep, how's that working out for you, Florida? I love it. I love watching these dumb bitches get their ass kicked upside one side, down the other. You have no quarterback. You're supposedly Florida, the best school in the state. Please. Please. I love this. This team is horrible. I'm sorry. They're awful. It's a joke. That you have an offensive coordinator as a head coach and he can't bring nobody in to run the play quarterback. But supposedly they're going to take all of our recruits. Yeah. You can have that running back you've got down there, Scholar. Yeah, I bet you right now you wish you would have came to Miami and sat behind Yerby and Walton. Yeah, go ahead, stay up air in Gainesville, because you ain't going to do shit. I love it. This team's horrible.
In which the starting running back, Jordan Scarlett, had 17 yards on 11 carries, so that's a positive, right? I mean, he's averaging a yard a carry. Mark Thompson, 5 carries for 16 yards. That's positive. LaMichael Perrine had 8 yards off of 3 carries. They're progressing, getting 2 yards a clip. And Jordan Cronkright had a carry for 2 yards. You had Brandon Powell, a carry for 1 yard, and you know that was off of a reverse because he's a receiver. I know him personally. Josh Hammond, a yard a carry. Antonio Callaway, this is where it starts to get disgusting, people. 2 carries, negative 2 yards. Johnny Townsend, 1 carry, negative 11 yards. You talking about enforcing the line of scrimmage? It gets worse. The quarterback, 5 carries, 32 yards, negative. Negative. Like, Alabama, if you guys keep this up, continue to play like the championship is yours, I find it hard for a team to figure you guys out. But like I said, I think the 3 that they'll put in there, regardless of the 3 that they put in there, I really feel like it's got to be Washington as the 4th team to play Alabama out the gate. I would not want it to be Penn State there to play Alabama, because then it'd be like a great season for Penn State off or not. I wouldn't want it to be like that.
You know where that first game's played at. If it's Washington, you know where that first game's played at. Where Washington will play Alabama at. You know where that's at, right?
Where would the location be?
In Atlanta.
And that's right in the backyard of Atlanta. Alabama, excuse me.
Right. Alabama fans will flock to that place. You may get some Washington fans. It's played in Atlanta. It'll be played in the Georgia Dome.
Either way, I find it hard for any team to be successful out of the gate up against Alabama. If it's Penn State, I feel good the way that Penn State has been playing football, but I don't think that they would measure up to go against Stateman and company, especially with them having a national championship to consider to try and protect. Okay.
And we can move on after this. I just want to get this out and get your opinion on it. We have a coach stepping down. Tommy Tuberville has decided to step down as head coach at Cincinnati. He went 29-22 in four seasons.
And Tuberville, he's been all across the country, respectively so, while he was in the SEC. Things did not look good in Cincinnati, especially in this season right here that just went past. I think Tuberville, if he still has his heart in it, I still feel like he will end up getting a job elsewhere. But right now, I think it's especially coming in after, and I hate to kind of go after both of these coaches, or dislike, because hate is such a strong word, but I dislike to go after both of these coaches. While Coach Kelly went to Notre Dame, and he went to Notre Dame and wasn't successful, and they're talking about him in the coaching carousel possibly, and now you have Tuberville stepping down and seeing if he's going to want to coach later or go somewhere where there's success. This is a strong situation. This is a very strong situation. But with Tuberville leaving Cincinnati, I don't like how these coaches are leaving Cincinnati, let alone Brian Kelly left Cincinnati on a good note. The Bearcats were doing well when he left. And now Tuberville is, like, at the doorstep jumping, and then now the coach, whatever coach goes there. And you know what? I'm glad that you brought that up. Charlie Strong will go to Cincinnati. There you go. Bring Charlie Strong right to Cincinnati and let him turn around a team with not too much to ask for of him, and he kind of be custom to what's going on right there. So I actually like that situation. But your thoughts on this as you brought it up?
I'm not surprised, because, I mean, they were iffy this year. There were times where they beat themselves, and you can just tell it was wearing him down. I really, Scott, honestly, think he's done coaching. I think this is really not. I can't say he'll be done for good, but I don't see him coaching next year. I think he's gonna spend time with the family. I mean, he is up there. He's about 60 something. He, at least by the way he looks. I mean, I would not be surprised if he just didn't take a year, maybe 2 years off, spend time with family. I'm sure he's got grandkids. Spend time with the grandkids, and maybe he'll get that engine built back up, get that hunger again to go somewhere else. I'm not shocked, really.
Okay, and last but not least, in the matchup that I'm glad that it took a turn for the better for me in the kitchen. I'm not going to lie, because my heart was involved in this one. I did not want to see Wisconsin win it. I didn't. I'm not even going to lie to you, Sports City. I wanted Wisconsin to fall short. Even though, I'm not going to lie, I respect Wisconsin as a team. I do. I do respect them as a team, but the run that Penn State put together to get to this point, and for them to actually face the deficit that they had to face at halftime, I thought it was over. I was like, yeah, I was wrong picking Penn State on the tailgate. I was wrong. And like I said, my heart was involved with it, and I went with Penn State just because I wanted to see Penn State win this. Well, James Franklin, on behalf of the season that you guys have gone through, and I know that before the season started, we were talking junk about you. I throw my name in the pot. I won't even speak on everybody else who was talking about Coach Franklin and what had to go down at Penn State. Well, Penn State has not only came back and won this game, but makes it that much more interesting with what the committee has to deal with moving forward. Penn State wins this game 38-31. Trace McSorley set records on Wisconsin in Big Ten championship game play. 384 yards passing and 4 touchdowns throw, records in Big Ten championship game situation. Tommy, your thoughts on this matchup where Wisconsin had a lead going into the half and only amounted 3 points after halftime. And Penn State, well, they did not quit.
I'm pissed off, because any true Miami Hurricane fan hates Penn State. I hate seeing these SOBs win anything. I hate it. I wanted them to get their asses kicked so bad and sent back up north. I really was hoping Wisconsin win because I said no matter who they played in the conference championship, this was way back, they'd win. And they had it. But they fell short. I mean, does Penn State deserve to be in? And maybe. Will they? I don't know. I really seriously don't know. In a way, I could say there's no way they bring them, what were they, seventh, eighth, all the way up. But then I can see it where they put them in. They drop them for it or Washington and put them in. And then they'll turn around and say, well, they did beat the number two team, Ohio State. Washington didn't play nobody in the non-conference schedule. They had Rutgers and I can't remember who all else they played. Idaho was in there, and I can't remember who else they played. It was somebody else they kept bringing up. So I'm very interested here in the next, 45 minutes? Just see what happens. I can't wait.
I agree. I want to see how the committee handles this. If they really are going to put Ohio State as number two, Penn State not only won the Big Ten, but also beat Ohio State. If they hold them out, I just want to know how they came up with this scenario, which I think they will end up holding Penn State out. But if they do get Penn State in there, and it was interesting that Franklin said this while they had their trophy acceptance at the end of the game, stating exactly what Doc says, that they could potentially be the best conference in college football, arguably so, they won it. And they've beaten this team that you're ranking number two in the nation. I just don't get the way that they weigh the situation. But Penn State, I tip my hat. I'm glad that I called this one that way because Wisconsin has been here, man. And they still give Wisconsin a leg up year in and year out, whether J.J. Watt is there, whether Monty Ball is there, whether Russell Wilson is there. They still give Wisconsin a leg up. And Penn State fought tooth and nail after having their losses early. And just like Franklin made Black go up there and say twice to everybody nationally and to everybody in the stadium on their resume for this season on a successful 11-2 season. Can't overlook what they've done on this season. But that's not rested at me.
They'll lose
at
me.
Can you say that again?
They'll lose in the Rose Bowl.
If they get sold short and not getting into the national championship, we'll see. I think Penn State can end up playing with a chip on their shoulder and pulling that one out also.
USC in the Rose Bowl, you would think
right?
It was USC. You would think it'd be USC. But then if it's But then they could put Colorado out there. I'm interested to see how the Rose Bowl goes. Which Pac-10 team they take, or 12? I'm interested to see what team out of the SEC goes to the Sugar Bowl, since Alabama will be in the playoffs.
Fair enough. Like I said, Penn State, job well done getting this job done, especially with everything that you guys have had to build yourself back in that program after everything that happened with the paternal passing and everything that fell domino effect out there in Penn State. So I do tip my hat. But the committee, I say this before I get moving away from college football. Your hands are full. You guys have a lot of work to do, and I'm not going to lie, you have everybody that watches college football at the end of their seat on how you put together 2 through 4, however you put it together. I want to see who you put at 2 and 3, let alone the 4th seed. does Clemson get the leg up over Ohio State? Does Ohio State get the leg up over Clemson? Should Ohio State be considered a 3 or a 4, especially the way that they've been playing? I mean, Ohio State, yeah, great, they beat Michigan, but their offense hasn't really come out and killed and impressed me. But they've done their work after they lost to Penn State, who won the Big Ten. I don't know how they're going to consider this. I really want to see how the committee does.
Don't really matter. Because they're both going to have to go out. I believe it's Arizona. So 2 and 3, I mean, I don't really – that don't really matter. It's who they put at number 4.
Well, like I said, committee, committee, your hands are full. I can't wait to see what you guys do next. Okay, Tommy, is there a topic that you would like to discuss before we get moving from college football?
No, not until this playoff stuff gets dropped.
Okay, fair enough. Do we go straight into the NFL? Is there any NBA news that you would like to jump into or anything else that I'm missing? Because then I could get right into the NFL and picks for the day as well.
We can do that. I can't think of anything right offhand right now.
Okay, so this is a very interesting Week 13. A lot of people in must-win situations, I do have to say it like that, all across the board. And nobody is safe, and I don't like to look at it like that, but it is what it is. This is what you call the last of the third month, where everything goes down. Bird month being September, October, November, hello, December. Okay, so in which we have some matchups going down. In Atlanta, first and foremost, the Kansas City Chiefs on the road up against the Atlanta Falcons. Must win for both teams. Tommy, who do you like in this matchup and why?
Who is it again? Sorry, I was reading something.
The Chiefs versus the Falcons.
That's what I thought it said. Give me Atlanta. They're at home.
This is an interesting matchup. This is a very interesting matchup. I don't know where to go with this one because the Chiefs have actually been playing well, especially coming off of an interesting win up against Denver. And the Falcons, oh my goodness, the Falcons are tough at home too. Wow, Chiefs defense has been balling. I'm going to go with Kansas City. Let's start this up. Let's start it up right now. I'm going with Kansas City on the road to go in Atlanta and pull off the upset. They actually are favoring Atlanta at home, which I feel like that background could get the backfield could get started for Atlanta, but it's all up to the receiver core outside of Julio, because you know Julio's going to go out there and do his work. If the other receivers could come into play and make plays up against this secondary, because the Chiefs' defense is a quiet storm right now. They are making their work happen quiet. Okay. Do you feel that the Los Angeles Rams can go into Gillette and beat the Patriots?
No, but with Gronk being out for the season, now give me New England. I don't think they can win this one without Gronk. But I want to say something, though. I want your opinion. We go around, well, you more than me, or go around saying this player's injury prone, this player's injury prone. Is Gronk starting to get in that category? Because it seems like there's a lot of seasons he's injured lately.
Yes, he is. I think Gronk is injury prone now. And the worst part about it is Gronk is young. Gronk is the same age as some family, my sister. He's 27 years old. So I was thinking that Gronk at least could play to be like 33, 34, 35. I don't think Gronk will make it past 32. in the NFL. I don't. I think his window is closing. This surgery that he just had on his back was a situation that he had since college, and it's come back around to him. So this was an injury that's been with him for a while. Hasn't come back to, you know, spur him up until now. But he's also had a knee injury, his arms, forearm. I mean, he's getting broken up everywhere. And as big as he is, as jacked and solid as Gronk is, he is also a big target. And with him being a big target, it's hard for you to bring him down. So the only places that you're going to go is in his legs. You're going to take him out where he's been injured before. As successful as he is, as gaudy as his stats are, as many touchdowns that he's brought to the game, I think that Gronk may have less than 5 years left in him in the NFL. I think so. Yes, I am putting him in the discussion of being injury prone. And if I say that by myself, I don't care how people look at it, players are injury prone. Jamal Charles is an injury prone player. Gronkowski had several injuries in the past 3 or 4 years. Yes, he's injury prone. I consider him injury prone, yeah. I mean, do you feel like I'm wrong in calling players injury prone? I can put Adrian Peterson in the same discussion, and I feel like it's being disrespectful in saying that, but look how many times Adrian Peterson gets injured. Think about that. Like, a lot of great players know that defenses gear up to come after them. They gear up to come after them. Gronkowski, as soon as you play the Patriots, there's two names on the board that regardless of what Belichick says defensively and has their defensive matchup, so on and so forth, on the bulletin board for teams to worry about, there's two names on that board that every team that plays the Patriots are worried about: Thomas Brady and Robert Gronkowski. Have to gear up to Dino. Have to. Okay. Do you feel the Jacksonville Jaguars can win at home up against the Broncos? The Broncos have to fly across country to Jacksonville up against the Jags. Do you feel that these cats can take out the horses?
I mean, I have Denver written down, but, I mean, Jacksonville does not have a bad defense. The rookie's going to be the quarterback, Patrick Lynch. Jacksonville could possibly win this, but give me Denver. I just think their defense will do just enough to get the victory for them.
I'm going with Denver. Also, if Denver loses this game, I think they clearly pulled themselves out of the AFC West contention, because the Raiders, and if the Chiefs win too, will be flying high to win that division. So I'm going to go with Denver as well. This is a must-win for them to hang on to at least being in the discussion of the AFC West. They have to win this game to stay in that discussion. They still are available for wild card, but it'd be interesting to see if they can hang on to a wild card situation. So I'm going with Denver as well.
They're out of the playoffs right now. They're not even in the wild card. So, they need this victory to even stay close to the wild card.
Right, but still, yeah, if everything was to fall apart, say if Denver wins and Kansas City loses, they both have 4 losses on the season. So that kind of puts them in that scenario also. And if the Raiders lose too, this makes it interesting too, because the back end is loaded for Oakland, which we will be talking about soon too. I'm going to write this down now for myself. Do you feel Houston can go into Lambeau and beat the Packers, with the Packers actually winning last week, in which it is supposed to snow in Lambeau, knowing the Texans are an indoor team? Can they go in and deal with the powers that be, or the weather, if the weather does hold up? There's a 70% chance that it's supposed to snow in Lambeau. Do you think the Texans can win this game?
70% chance in Green Bay means there's a blizzard coming. It's going to snow. Give me Green Bay, but I don't trust Green Bay's defense. Give me Green Bay.
I'm going with Green Bay also, and it's funny that they are warming up right now, and no pun intended in me saying warming up. Okay, another NFC North team going up against an NFC South team. The Detroit Lions take their talents to the Mercedes-Benz Superdome in the battle of the number nine. Number nine, Matthew Stafford, up against number nine, Drew Brees. Who do you like in this matchup?
Give me New Orleans. They're at home. It's going to be a shootout. This game's going to be a shootout. So, Ty, be ready. It's going to be a shootout.
I already know this is going to be a shootout. Vegas already sees this over-under at 53.5. So, I'm already bracing for guns a-blazing. In which I have to pick this game, and I'm not going to like myself after this pick right here, but I have to because I just got to try and, you know, do what I got to do here in the kitchen and try to keep pace. I'm going with Detroit. I feel Detroit will pull out the shocker with everybody against them in New Orleans to get this job done, especially with the door being open in the Superdome. I feel like they can get this job done. There are a lot of pieces for the Lions that are not playing today. If Stafford could pull this off today in New Orleans, I will start considering him as an MVP candidate. I won't say he should be. I will say candidate. If he could pull this off, if the Lions win in New Orleans, I can't look any other direction by saying Stafford got this done. And please, if you do win Detroit, if you do, I don't want this to be a fourth quarter overall. I'm tired of watching it go down like that. I'm tired. I cannot watch this go down. No. And look, this is me. I'm going to say it like this. I feel the Lions do need to lose somewhere along the line. So, somewhere it has to happen. Because I don't want to see the Lions go into the playoffs 12-4. They're on a winning streak right now, but They need a glimpse of reality that they can't be beaten. And not to say that they don't know where that is, but it'd be interesting. So I'm not going to like myself with going with Detroit in this game, but I feel that they can do it, especially with everybody turning their back on the line and not believing in them and watching different analysts discrediting the defense. But there's an interesting piece on the defense with Tahir Whitehead out for the day also. But nevertheless, I feel like Detroit can get this done. I'm going to be the homer. I have to, and I feel like they are in a competitive spirit to stay within this game. So I'm going with Detroit.
These quarterbacks could combine by throwing 9 touchdowns combined.
I wouldn't put it past them. I wouldn't put it past either of them. I know that Vegas already sees this as being a shootout. So this is I'm buckling up, man. I'm going to try my best. I know everybody's out here trying to watch me go watch this game. So it's going to be interesting. I'm buckling up for this matchup. Okay. This game right here that I'm about to mention is very interesting to me. Both of them are, well, one is actually fighting to get to 500. The other one, well, I don't know what lies on the line for them, especially with the injuries that they are facing. The Philadelphia Eagles visit the Cincinnati Bengals in Ohio. Who do you like in this matchup and why?
I've got Cincinnati written down, but I may change this pick to Philadelphia. I don't know which Cincinnati team's going to show up. I don't know what Philadelphia team's going to show up. For my own humor, I'm hoping Cincinnati wins. Oh, jeez. You know, I'm going to change it down here. I'm going to write down Philadelphia. Give me Philly.
I wrote Philadelphia also. I feel like even with the Cincinnati Bengals being at home, with A.J. Green and the injuries lingering around Cincinnati, I feel like this is going to get worse for them. I'm going with Philly to get to 500 But this is an interesting note for Philadelphia fans and people that, you know, are NFC East fans alike. The Eagles are 1-5 on the road. Disgusting. Disgusting. I'm going with Philly, though. I am going with Philly. One of the matchups of the day at 1 o'clock, the Miami Dolphins go into M&T Bank Stadium up against the Baltimore Ravens, who lead the AFC North at this current time. The Dolphins are on a 6-game winning streak. I'm going to go first in this one. I am going to say Baltimore. I'm going with the Ravens. Okay, Tommy, your pick on the game that you'll be watching closely.
I'm going Baltimore. Baltimore. And this is why. Jimmy Smith, back. Doomerville, pulled out last week. This defense is healthy. We will shut down this running game. He'll get Ajayi will get some runs, I think. But he's not this game's gonna come down to Tannehill beating us. I don't trust Tannehill beating us. Baltimore wins this at home.
Okay, another game of the day at 1 o'clock. And I'm being funny, Sports City. I don't think this is the game of the day, but it's a very interesting one. The San Francisco 49ers, 1-10, I was going to say 2, 1-10, have not won on the road yet. The Bears are 2-9. Their only two wins came at home, one of which was against the Detroit Lions, where it's like a stab in the side. Who do you like in this matchup and why, Tommy? The 49ers or the Bears?
I have no clue. I've got the Bears written down. I have no clue. I mean, Barkley's going to be the quarterback again, as far as I know. I don't think Cutler's back. San Francisco's not played too bad. I mean, I'll just stay with my pick with the Bears. I don't know why, though.
So you're going with Chicago?
Yeah.
Don't sound too depressed. Don't sound too depressed. All right. Just to help lift your spirits, I'm going with San Francisco. How about that? I'll be the one to jump into the defense. I'm going with San Francisco to win the game, to get their second win on the season, in which Kaepernick voided his contract, so he's going to be eligible for free agency. Might be a landing spot if he does well in this game. We'll see. It's supposed to snow in Chicago as well. We'll see.
Yeah,
Chip
Kelly has come out saying he likes the way Kaepernick's running his offense. It wants him back next year.
They should have been doing that from the beginning. I don't know how they went with Gabbert just because he was kneeling. Like, okay, we'll just get past that. Chip Kelly, Chip Kelly might not even be there. If Chip Kelly is there next year, then I don't know who he knows in the back. I don't know who he knows. Okay. Let's get moving, because a lot of these games now are going to start getting interesting at 4 o'clock. The Buffalo Bills go to the Black Hole up against the Oakland Raiders. The Raiders are flying high, playing good football. Buffalo is trying to stay relevant. They are still above 500, though. I do give the Bills credit for what they've done up until this point. Who do you like in this matchup and why?
My heart says Raiders, but they have a big game Thursday night going to Kansas City. Are they overlooking Buffalo to Kansas City? But I'm going to go with what I said last year. I said the Raiders would make the playoffs. Give me the Oakland Raiders.
It's funny how Vegas has this thing lined up. Oakland is favored by 3. I'm still going to go with Oakland, but I'm going to say this on air, Sports City. I will not be shocked if Buffalo pulls off the upset going across the country. I will not be shocked.
I won't be either. That's why I said, because they had a big game Thursday night going to Kansas City that I can't wait for.
Okay. One of the game of the day, and this is really considered a game of the day, the 8-3 New York Giants up against the 6-5 Pittsburgh Steelers, who are tied with the Baltimore Ravens, but the Ravens have the tiebreaker with the win up against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going out on a limb. I'm going with Pittsburgh at home. I am going with the Steelers. Tommy, who do you like and why?
I'm going with Pittsburgh. I just think they'll win it. They're at home. But, my God, I'm going to be rooting for the Giants like I've never rooted for the Giants before. We need the Giants to win this so badly. Now, I want to bring something up because I was waiting for us to bring this game up. Did you hear what a certain wide receiver said about these two quarterbacks? Name Plaxico Burress.
No, I haven't. What did Plaxico say? But wait, before you do, you're going with the Giants, correct?
No, I'm going with the Steelers.
Okay.
But
I
want the Giants to win. Plaxico Burress. Mister, I shot myself in the foot or the leg, wherever it was. Mr. Michigan State played at Pittsburgh with Ben. He played in New York with Eli. Said he would take Eli Manning over Ben Ross over Ben with the game on the line for a final drive.
I mean, he would say that because he won a Super Bowl with Eli and the more epic finish still, 9 years after the fact, 8 to 9 years after the fact. Of course, Plaxico could say that, but Ben won a doggone Super Bowl II on a fourth down play in the back of the end zone with Santonio Holmes, too. So it's not like he didn't do it either. There's no way that Plaxico can give the edge over the other. But this is where I look at Plaxico in the wrong light. You do know, and I'm saying this to you, I'm saying this to, Plaxico. You do know that Eli is turnover prone. Since I throw out injury prone, I might as well throw out turnover prone as well. In the last 3 seasons, Eli has been in the top 5 turning the ball over. And he's a Manning. Ben has not been in this conversation. Ben has been doing it with whatever receiver core he has, Eli has always been loaded with receivers, always. While Plaxico left, Ben was doing it. You know, I don't know. For that to be a measure, I'm not going to lie. I favor Big Ben wholeheartedly, 100% over Eli, wholeheartedly. In which they both have 2 Super Bowl wins, but Ben's been there more. Ben has carried the Steelers there 3 times to Eli's 2, even though Eli did knock off Brady twice, and that's a big measure also. I can't overlook that. But Ben's gotten there 3 times. I don't know what else you being Plaxico, I don't know what else Plaxico needs to see from Ben to give him confidence. I still feel like he's bitter the way that the Steelers sent him packing. That's just me. Matter of fact, let me ask you, who do you think is the better quarterback, whether it was a late-game scenario or all-purpose? Are you going with Eli, or are you going with Ben?
I don't like either one of them. Eli's turnover prone, like you said. Ben will turn the ball over, but Ben will also is injury prone. Ben gets hurt a lot, and I don't want personally. I wouldn't want either one of them personally. But if you give me one or the other, I'll take Eli.
I think I know why you went Eli. It's okay. It's okay. I know why. Okay. The Washington Redskins on the road in the toaster up against the Arizona Cardinals. Both of these teams have a tie in their record. But the Redskins have turned this season around. The Cardinals, I don't know what's going on right now within their season this year, in which I don't even think that they show the importance that this is Larry Fitzgerald's last season. Larry Fitzgerald is retiring, and they're not playing with the urgency to, you know, at least show him to a postseason. Tommy, who do you like in this matchup? The Redskins in the Metro with you or the Cardinals at home?
Arizona's at home, so give me Arizona.
I am going to go Arizona as well, but I'm going to say I would be impressed if the Redskins could get it done in Arizona. I will be impressed. I'm not going to lie. I will be impressed. But the Cardinals do have a secondary that can keep up with all of the speed that Kirk Cousins has at his artillery. But I'm going to go with Arizona. Okay, so this is a game that I know Tommy loves so much. I'm going to go first in this matchup. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a quarterback that Tommy loves, up against the San Diego Chargers, another quarterback that Tommy loves. I am going to go with the San Diego Chargers at home to get this done as they are trying to turn this season around. But I beckon everything that's going on with Phillip Rivers. Phillip, you cannot have that fourth quarter that you had 3 or 4 weeks ago. Big wheels keep on turning. Yeah, I got to sing my song. I got to sing my song for you to get going. I'm rolling. I'm rolling. I'm rolling on the river. I'm going with Phillip to get it done up against Tampa Bay.
You're lucky I'm watching the college playoff selection show. And I'm kind of paying attention to that because I hate both these damn quarterbacks. They're both garbage. Meaning, do I have to pick this game? Can I just go ahead and give you a game? I mean, really? So you went with San Diego. You know what? Hell, I'll make the wife happy. Give me the Chargers. I don't know why. They'll end up shitting on me and disappointing me, but hell, give me the Chargers.
Okay, and last but not least, and here goes the crazy part of this scenario. We have a spat going on already before this game commences tonight. The Carolina Panthers, 4-7 on the season, up against the 7-3-1 Seattle Seahawks. Rain is expected tonight during this game. Who do you like in this matchup with Richard Sherman already calling out Cam Newton before the game to turn this one up against the 12th man in Seattle?
One, I guess I'm going to have to repeat myself again. Richard Sherman, shut the hell up. You're not that good. Sorry, you're not. With that said, I hate to do this because everybody that personally knows me knows I'm a big Cam fan. Big Cam Newton fan. But give me Seattle. They're at home. Carolina has no defense to save their life. I really hope I'm wrong on this one, Sports City. I so hope I can get on here and holler, Cam! Oh, Cam! But give me Seattle.
I am going against the grain. I am going with Cam and Carolina to pull the upset off in Washington. That's right. I feel like this is the upset city, and I'm going to stick with it with Keekly out. With Keekly out. I don't even think that they need the linebacker core. They just have to worry about the back end to defend these receivers, and I feel like they can make this an interesting game. I think Cam could wear this chip on his shoulder, and being the diehard Miami Hurricanes fan that I am, because I love my Canes with all my heart, Gregory Olsen will be a problem for Thomas and Chancellor. I feel like Chancellor will try to deal with Olsen, but I still feel like Olsen will still get his catches, and possibly, I'll be fair, I won't say 100. I think Greg could have over 80 yards receiving today. I want him to put up a buck. If he puts up 100 or better on this secondary, Greg, you might replace Shockey to me as being one of my favorite tight ends out of the U. Shockey is still my guy. I still love Jeremy to death. Just talking about Jeremy. But, Greg, if you get this done up against the Legion of Boom, I might replace Jeremy. I might have to do it. And you're a tri-state guy. He's from Jersey, too, so I got Greg, you know you already got my vote in a lot of ways, Greg. But I'm going with Carolina to get this thing done. I feel like they could actually pull this off in Seattle. Okay, so those are the games for today. And tomorrow we will have the Monday night matchup, which I really don't even feel like picking that game, whether it's Indianapolis or the Jets. It's, both of their seasons are topsy-turvy, both of them. We'll get into that.
Okay, so this month I won't be watching.
For the Monday night matchup, I know. I got to try to find something to do.
I'll find a college basketball game one.
And so the college basketball matchups are coming. Okay, so have they given you, because I know that you're watching the playoff scenario, have they given the teams for the playoff bracket yet?
No, they're still just talking and jibber-jabbering. They got different reporters at Ohio State. They got a reporter at Ohio State, a reporter, all these schools pretty much, Penn State, Michigan, Clemson, and they're all talking to them. That's all they're doing. ESPN is going to drag this shit completely out. They've got, I guess, selection shows on for what, 3.5 hours? See, it came on at noon. This goes all the way to 4 o'clock. They'll go drag this shit out.
Okay, so we will be anticipating how this thing goes down later. Hopefully, we aren't too upset with everything that's going on. I don't really have much. We can close out now. If you have another topic that you would like to discuss, you're free to do so.
Nope. I can't think of anything off the top of the head.
I mean, I can talk NBA, but I don't know if you've been actually paying attention to what's been going on in the league, but I'll leave it there. Okay. I need a plug, close out, anything that you'd like to promote or as we shut down the brunch for the day.
Don't really have anything for a closeout. Just hopefully we can get in tomorrow.
Okay.
Oh, no. There is something. Just dawned on me. Did you see where Conor McGregor filed for boxing license in California? And reports are the reason he did it is he wants Floyd Mayweather. He wants a boxing match with Floyd Mayweather. And supposedly this is really starting to pick up heat since, what was it, the summer, over, what was it, July, June, July, when it was first reported.
Yes, I did see this situation. I'm going to be honest, Floyd, I know that he's smart enough not to take the bait. But it's like, why? Why go backwards with somebody that's not a boxer? He's not a boxer. He's an amateur. And this is and Conor's doing everything that he can. Just like Floyd, and this is the smart part about Floyd, where I give Floyd 1,000% credit. Everybody wants to fight me is what Floyd Mayweather says, because I'm the lotto ticket for all of them. Who would not want to get a $30 million or better fight night in a day, in 36 minutes of work? Who wouldn't want that? Or if we look at it in a Manny Pacquiao light, Manny Pacquiao got $125 million for fighting Floyd in a loss. Even if Conor, let's look at the scenario. If Conor loses that fight to Floyd, nobody would care. They'd probably be talking more junk about Floyd. If Floyd loses, that'd be the first loss that everybody will blow up. Conor would be on top of the U.S., like, and he'd get big money for it, which he's never had that payday in UFC ever. Ever. So it's like, I hope Floyd is smart enough. Well, no, I can't say smart enough, because Floyd is intelligent, even though people pick on him and his reading capability. But I hope he just doesn't take the bait. I hope Conor is in it to fight somebody that's in the welterweight, because he does weigh 147. He weighs the same weight as Floyd. But, yeah, you're getting a boxing license in L.A., then fight Errol Spence. Fight Keith Thurman. Fight Manny Pacquiao. Hell, fight Canelo. Let's fight these guys that are in the weight class. You're not just going to get the list. And this is the funny part about that. You're not just going to get this license to fight Floyd. Floyd beat you. You're back out of boxing. Go back to UFC, where you guys are really amateur fighters. You guys are really amateur fighters in the UFC. I know several boxers personally, and I hate to call people out UFC, because I know Anthony Johnson personally, and I love Anthony. Anthony's a brother to me. Two boxers that I know that held championship belts, different weight classes, call MMA and UFC crap. literal words. They said, don't talk that bull crap to me. Bull crap. I wish I would use the word that they really said, but I'm trying to be PG here for Sports City. They call it crap. So there's no way for them to backpedal Floyd to help Conor McGregor out, who's kind of sitting on top of the UFC. Why are you so focused on Floyd? Matter of fact, let me just put this in a different light. Why is everybody in UFC so focused on Floyd Mayweather? You have Ronda Rousey, Dana White, calling out Floyd. Because at that time, when nobody was beating Ronda, you were putting Ronda in front of Floyd Mayweather, because what, she's a big name in your network, so you get her to talk just to Floyd. You can sell magazines and seats and tickets and get money off of revenue and have people come fill the seats. Stop. Floyd ain't even fighting no more. Floyd not even. So now Conor beats Alvarez. He has two belts, and the next challenge is for him to go into the boxing world and to fight Floyd. Be real. So like I said, you got in there, have him work. If Conor's knocking everybody out in UFC, which I respect him in doing that, because I'm not a fighter in the octagon, you know what I'm saying? Fight the guys that are in the network right now. Like I said, Errol Spence Jr. is a nice boxer that you can try and test. Hell, if you really feel good at knocking people out, you can fight Amir Khan if you want to. As a matter of fact, let me set up a better fight for you. Why don't you fight Cal Brooks? Because Cal Brook is really a welterweight, weighing in at 147. He took that fight with Golovkin just to, like, try to set up an order. He'd fight anybody. Cal Brook, I think Cal Brook will clean Conor up. Conor will have a tough time dealing with Cal. How about that? Or Canelo Alvarez, because Canelo is the guy of California right now, the Mexican that everybody loves. Golden Boy's next product. You get big money off of that. I bet you won't fight Canelo. Would you? He wants Floyd because no matter how that fight goes down, he would have a big payday. I don't know. Your thoughts on that one?
Well, the playoffs will be announced at 12:30. Hopefully I can talk for 10 minutes. One, the baddest bitch on the planet, Ronda Rousey, went after Floyd Mayweather because of him beating up on his, what was his wife, fiance, girlfriend, whatever. And she said, if you want to beat up on someone, come get in the octagon with me and try to beat me up. We all know that was going to happen. That was a joke. Floyd, Conor would be stupid in this point of getting in this. Because, one, there's no way in hell I'm even paying for this fight in pay-per-view. I'd go to Buffalo Wild Wings. I'd go to wherever that would be showing it. I could watch it for free. Because this is how it would go. Floyd, throw a punch, he'd run around the ring. And that's how it would go for whatever, how many rounds this would go. So if you want to sit there and watch, I mean, yeah, both fighters would get a payday. They'd have a little bit of here where they throw here, there, there. But pretty much it'd be Floyd running around the ring and Conor standing there waving his arms like, come on, come on, sitting there and them both talking. That's how it would go. And for whoever it was saying that boxers are better, please, if you look at the overall record of professional boxers that went to the UFC, or even just go MMA, because there's Bellator and there's all kinds of it, their record's not that good overall. Now, Holly Holmes was a professional boxer and went in. She did what she consistently. She played well. She did well. She got choked out by someone I didn't think she would, personally. I didn't think she'd lose that fight that she lost. Actually, Holmes has lost her last two fights, if I'm correct. Because she lost to Misha Tate, because she lost the belts. And then she lost to someone else, I believe, since then. I could be wrong. But I'd like to know the numbers of boxers that tried this MMA and their records overall. I'd really like to know it. But this whole with Conor and Floyd, I don't know if it'll ever happen. I really don't. But we know how it's going to go. It'll be, of course, in L.A. It'll be at the Staples Center. You'll have Floyd's camp, and then you'll have McGregor's camp with Dana White, and they'll build this thing up to be something that it's not going to live up to be. Exactly how it's going to go. And people are going to pay millions of dollars just for one ticket. For nothing. Floyd running around the ring and Conor running his mouth is what you're going to see.
I don't know. Well, granted, just like the boxer that told me, I'm going to leave him to remain nameless. And yeah, you throw Holly Holm's name in the hat. Holly Holm was not even a successful boxer at all. At all. I don't even know if there were too many boxers that went from boxing to MMA. I think that's a backwards move. That's a backwards move. I think there's more money for guys that box comparable to the money that are into the men that fight in the UFC, unless they are the main event. Holly Holm is the only one you can throw out there. If you look at Holly Holm's fight that she had while she boxed, she got terrorized. One girl cleaned her clock so bad that Holly Holm was trying to sit up, but she was cross-eyed. And she took care of Ronda Rousey's tail. Beat Ronda Rousey so bad that Ronda Rousey was contemplating suicide and ready to quit. All of that bullcrap stop. And the crazy part is all they have to do is grapple in MMA. If they get the grab and get whatever chokehold or whatever needs submission they need to do, they get somebody to tap out and they get them to hold their breath. Stand up and fight. Don't hold me. Don't hold me. And the guy that I'm talking about is an actual champion in boxing. In boxing. Two of them actually said the same thing. But I'll leave it there. Just like I said, and this is a perception for a lot of people that look at Floyd. the same thing that Floyd did while he was boxing is the same thing that Muhammad Ali did, because they are Olympic-style boxers. People don't understand. Like I love what Roger Mayweather, yeah, he may not be that intelligent, but I love what Roger Mayweather says to people that think they know boxing. Most people don't know shit about boxing. They live for the gladiator situation. They want to see the knockout, which I do like that, too. I like to see people get their head knocked off, too. But come on. They're doing what they need to do to win the fight. Muhammad Ali did the same thing to a lot of fighters. Come on. And he was a heavyweight. Let's be real. And Muhammad had 5 losses, and he's considered the greatest. People need to get real, man. All right. So let's get the closeout popping. We are at the tail end of the show. We'll save how the committee does their thing, because I'm not drawing this one out too long for them, because I want to respectfully get to my game that I'm going to be watching hopefully as well. Tommy, I need a plug, close out, promo, anything that you'd like to shout out as we shut it down as the brunch.
Like I said, I don't have much. Hopefully we get in here tomorrow. I'm glad that MLB will not have a lockout next year. There will be baseball next year, thank God. Hopefully we're in tomorrow. Come on, Baltimore. We need a win. Giants, don't disappoint me. Pull out a victory.
I don't know how I feel about this topic in my closing, but NBA, since I can't talk about basketball until I get Royce back in the kitchen on a day that we agree on, because Thursday does not work for him. He's really looking for a weekend day. So I'm going to try and get the crossover back into the kitchen, but in which one of the biggest names in the NBA has come out and made a statement on what he does to heal himself. I don't want to say recreationally, which it can be, wink, wink, used recreationally. But Steve Kerr, the head coach of the Golden State Warriors, in which when he was dealing with his surgery, said that he smoked marijuana several times to heal up, and they should consider using medicinal marijuana in the NBA. So this is one of the bigger names while he's sitting atop the NBA speaking toward that drug. Wow. Now, there's no melee. There's nobody in front of Steve Kerr. There's no piss test of Steve Kerr, all this other stuff, but you will punish these players and suspend them and do what you guys need to do respectively throughout all of these sports venues. Coaches should be held to the same standard, too. You're paying them millions of dollars also. But it's Steve Kerr. He's a championship coach. We were getting way more credit than he deserves. But I like it. I respect it because you guys won't question him. He has to go say it to the media. Okay, the Cookout Tuesday will be going down. That is the initial 7-year anniversary for Sports City. So this will be epic toward my heart, even though today's brunch was the 7th year where it all started. Right here on the bus, December 6, 2009, it's December 4th of 2016. So I feel happy that we have 7 years in here at Sports City. I'm happy that we've made it this far. Let's keep going. SportsCityChef.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. Everybody go out there and enjoy their Sunday. Everybody go out there and enjoy life. I'm dealing with a huge loss in my life. My uncle passed, and this week is very dear to me, man, and he's supposed to be getting buried on my birthday, which I already have my vacation planned. So this is heavy on me, Sports City. So I've been showing up with a lot of emotion on my heart as well. But thank you for everybody that's been supporting us up until this point. Stay tuned, everything that we got going on. Hopefully we can get in here tomorrow, just like everything that's going on today, and also our picks for Monday night. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chef again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Welcome to Sports City. TP Thomas is at the helm.
Feeling kind of Sunday.
Moses taking care of the Midwest. I'm TP Thomas holding down the East Coast.
TP, I am ready to rock.
And the only thing, I got one thing to wish you people.
Good morning.
It's the Sports City Chef with Sunday the Brunch with Mark and TP.
Good morning.
So catch Sit back, relax, enjoy everybody. Don't turn on the TV.
Good morning.
It's a Sunday morning brunch with Mark the Moses and TP Thomas.
Good morning.
So sit back, relax, in 2 hours of facts, and that's a fact, yeah.
Rest in peace, Uncle Larry.